Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love. Thank you for your blessings in our hands. Thank you for the strength you have given to us. Thank you for helping us in our helplessness. Thank you for encouraging us so that we can continue to do the things you have commanded us to do. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for every opportunity you have given to us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you, Father. Thank you for putting in our lives the grace and anointing that solves problems. Thank you for moving people and everything you have created to work together for our good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for enforcing your will and desire to prevail in our lives and situations. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for putting us in perfect peace. Thank you for making your peace to prevail in our bodies and souls and spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the grace you have given to us to grow in the knowledge of you. Even the grace to know you more than we have known before. Thank you, Father. Thank you for always revealing yourself to us. Thank you for always revealing your will to us. Thank you, Lord. We are here this evening to learn once again at your feet, to learn your word, to learn your scriptures. O Lord, speak to our heart and make us understand everything we'll be looking at this evening in Jesus' name. And beyond understanding, help us to apply the truth you will tell us this evening. Help us to apply them on our lives so that we can see transformation in our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue with our teaching on persecution. And today we're going to be looking at a topic that says, examples of men imprisoned for their faith, examples of men in the Bible that were imprisoned for their faith in God, for their faith in Jesus. Yeah, so we're going to be looking at many, many people that were revealed in the Bible for, they were revealed in the Bible as prisoners because of their faith in God. They went to prison. Yeah, they became prisoners because of their faith in God. Yeah, because they stood for God. They stood for righteousness. They stood for the truth. And they were imprisoned for that reason. Yeah. We are learning about these people because we are also getting ourselves prepared for persecution. For there's no doubt that we will also be persecuted, even as some of us are already being persecuted because of our faith in God and in Jesus. So we're going to look at the first of the list I have here. Yeah, the first among the list of biblical people who were imprisoned for their faith. Number one is Old Testament faith. Old Testament faith. Let us look at Hebrews 11, verse 36. Hebrews 11:36. Hebrews 11:36. And others had prior of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned, they were thrown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Yeah, these men that were mentioned in this chapter of Hebrews, they were Old Testament saints. Yeah, all the people that the writer of this Hebrews 11 was referring to were Old Testament saints. Yeah, so persecution is not a new thing. It has been even since the time of the Old Testament. Yeah, and every time I read this particular chapter of the Bible, I get so much moved in my spirit. Yeah, because it reveals how men like me, men like you, how they really suffered, yeah, because of their faith, yeah, and how they were even excited going through all those troubles and pains because of their faith. Yeah, you know, I get so much moved in my spirit because these people, they don't even have access to the kind of grace that we have access to now. And yet, they could trust God so much and believe God so much. And they were even willing to die because of what they believed in. Yeah, so I respect these people a lot. I mean, all the people that were referred to in this Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, so in that verse 36, it says, they were being tried. Yeah, they had trial of cruel mockings. So they were being mocked by people. Yeah, and not only that, scourgings, they were being beaten. Yeah, and then they were being chained. That's what bond means. They were being imprisoned, they were being chained because of their faith, and they were being imprisoned. Yeah, of course, when they chain them, they do that inside the prisons. Yeah, and then in verse 37 it says they were stoned. They were thrown as thunder, that is, they were cut into two, just like you would cut a piece of wood into two. So these men were cut, like sliced into two. I think Isaiah was sliced into two. You know Isaiah, and I'm sure many of you read that book a lot, the book of Isaiah. Now, the writer of those powerful prophecies, yeah, those powerful scriptures, he was torn into two with a sword, with a sword. Yeah, all those giant sword that is able to cut human flesh and bones. Yeah, it's not like he was beheaded; he was torn into two. So you can imagine the pain. Yeah, because he will have to bleed to death in pain. Yeah. And not only that, in verse 37 says they were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. So these men, because of their faith, and because of their love for God and their sacrificial life, they had a high record of purity and holiness before God that even the world wasn't worthy to have them. Yeah, so do you know that it is possible to be so pure that you are no longer worthy to stay on earth again? Yeah, that is, you are too pure for the earth to accommodate you. Yeah, you are too holy, too righteous for the earth to accommodate you. That is, it will be a sin if you remain on earth. You know, considering how the earth is so full of evil, pollution, darkness, wickedness. Yeah, everywhere is filled with the darkness, with the evil. Whether you can see it with your eyes or not, everywhere on earth is full of pollution. Dark pollution. Pollution of darkness. Everywhere is full of wickedness. Everywhere is full of defilement. So, and the level of purity a man will have, and such man will no longer be worthy. No, let me put it this way. It will be a sin for God to keep that man on earth. Yeah, there's a level of purity and holiness someone will have. And it will be unrighteous for God to keep that person on earth. So God will have to take that person out of the earth. Yeah, because the environment on earth is no longer right for them to stay. Yeah. And we have examples of such men in the scriptures, like Enoch and like Elijah and some others that were not recorded in the Bible. In fact, I believe we've had some people that God decided to take them out of this earth because they were too pure to stay on earth. Yeah, no, God might allow the enemy to kill some of them. Maybe they might have had accident or a disaster might happen to them, but it was all arranged by God because God don't want them on earth anymore. Yeah, so there are people like that. Yeah, so God might allow them to die in persecution. Yeah, because they should not continue here on earth again. And some, God don't want them to lose their salvation again. So he would take them. He would kill them himself and take them to heaven. Yeah. So, let us continue. Verse 38, Hebrews 11, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Yeah, so even before, you know, some of these people were captured and tortured and imprisoned, they were not even living a normal life. Yeah, because we know Elijah did not live a normal life. In fact, he didn't live like a human being. Yeah, because this man would live in the wilderness. He would make friends with animals. in the wilderness. Yeah, far from where human beings are. So, in fact, the people in those days, they could count when they used to see him. Maybe, probably, they would see him maybe 4 times in a year. Yeah, or maybe 5 times in a year. So they hardly see him among men. Yeah, because even his dressing, he doesn't dress like others would dress. He would dress his dress is always sheepskin, goatskin. He doesn't even wear normal dress like human being would wear would wear normal dress. And he doesn't even eat normal food. Yeah, because how would he be able to cook a nice food in the wilderness? Yeah. And it's not like they wouldn't want to live like normal human being, but they decided to live in such a way because of the love they have for God and His kingdom. Yeah, because they want to be so consecrated unto God. Yeah, they want to be so consecrated unto God, and they want to be so close to God. I pray that God will give us grace to have some of the virtues those Old Testament saints had. I pray God will give you grace to have some of the virtues the Old Testament saints had, in Jesus' name. So we're going to move to number 2. Yeah, another example, men who were in prison for their faith. Number 2 is Samson. Let us look at Judges chapter 16, verse 21. The book of Judges, 16:21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Yeah, so we saw that, if you have been reading about Samson, or if you have read about Samson, you will know that he is a target of the Philistines. Yeah, they hated him a lot, and they are always looking for ways to end his life, because he would cause a lot of havoc on them and on their country. Yeah, Samson would destroy many of them. Yeah, they couldn't stop him. They couldn't stop him. But they were able to, at last. They used Delilah to strip him of his powers. And after they succeeded, they captured him. Now, the story of Samson reveals how the enemy does not give up on God's people. Yeah, the enemy don't give up. Yeah, because you can see in those chapters that the Philistines, they didn't give up until they saw the hand of Samson. So don't think Satan is going to give up concerning your life as a Christian. He's not going to give up. And that is why you don't lose God as a Christian. Don't lose your God. Yeah, some believers, when they haven't yet gotten certain breakthroughs and blessings and promotion from God, they are always very spiritual and very prayerful. And they always would stay away from sin. Yeah, but after they have gotten what they wanted from God, they now, maybe because of the excitement or, I don't know. Yeah, I guess the excitement and the satisfaction. So they now lose God. Yeah. And it is at that moment, at that moment where they lost the God of their heart. Yeah, that is when Satan would come in. So Satan is always watching. So Satan came in, or maybe I should say, Satan prevailed over Samson when he lost God. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're going to really conquer Satan, you have to make a covenant with your soul, make a covenant with your heart, that you will never lose God. Yeah, no matter what will happen to you. Now, whether you're happy or you are sad, whether you have everything you need or you lack the things you need, you must make a covenant with yourself that you never lose God for the enemy to come in. There are some women who were very spiritual and very strong before they got married. But when they eventually got married, they lost their God. And Satan came in and captured them. Yeah, I pray the enemy will not capture you. Yeah, some, before they were elevated to a certain position, they were doing very fine spiritually, but after they got to that position, they lost God. The God they have they are built to keep their soul, their souls from corruption. They dropped down those guards. And the enemy came in and destroyed their lives. I pray the enemy will not succeed over you. Yeah. So it's possible that, in fact, not it's possible, that's not the word. There is no way they would have been able to capture Samson and imprison him if he didn't allow them. Yeah, there is no way they would have been able to do that. Yeah, because the power that Samson had could destroy anything. Yeah. So let us move to another example. The third example is Micaiah. Let us open our Bibles to 1 Kings 22, verse 26 to 27. And the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Haman, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace." Yeah. So we know about this man of God. Yeah, he was the one that prophesied that Ahab was going to die in the battle, because it was time for God to execute his judgment on him. But the other prophet, a lot of them, I forgot their number. I think there were over 400 prophets. A lot of them were telling Ahab, to go into the battle, that God have given him the victory already. He should go. But this prophet Micaiah, did not prophesy according to what the other prophets were saying. His own prophecy was different. Why? Because among many other prophets in the land at that time, he was still very pure and he could really hear from God. Yeah, and the same thing is happening now in the earth. Today we have a lot of prophets and prophetesses. Yeah. But among all these prophets, there are few that still hear from the heart of God. Yeah, and whenever those few come out to condemn the wickedness of men, all the other prophets that have lost connection with God, they get angry. Sometimes they even fight that, you know, that true prophet that, you know, that is now speaking from the heart of God. Sometimes they even send assassins to go and kill true prophets that still speak from God's heart. Yeah, so they did the same in the Bible days, and they are still doing it even now. Yeah, but as I said, majority of the prophets, the prophets we have today, they are not hearing from the heart of God. Yeah, they are just speaking to the people what the people want to hear. Yeah, usually a true prophet doesn't speak to people what they want to hear. He or she would speak directly from God's heart, even when the people don't want to hear that. Yeah, and you can do the research by yourself. Look at thousands and millions of pastors and prophets we have now in the world. How many of them are really speaking what the people don't want to hear? So that's how you know a real prophet. Yeah, you know them by how they stand out. And what usually would stand them out is that their messages condemn sin. Their messages condemn unrighteousness, wickedness, immoralities, perversions. Yeah, their messages doesn't, you know, make people feel good. Yeah, so that's how you can know a real prophet. And this man, Micaiah, was one. Yeah. I pray that among you people, God will raise real prophets in these last days. I mean, among every one of you here, I pray God will raise a real prophet in these last days, in Jesus' name. Let us move to another example. Anani. Second Chronicles 16 verse 10. Second Chronicles 16 verse 10. Okay, maybe I should first of all read where the name of the person was mentioned. Yeah, because some of you might not have heard that name before. Anani. Yeah. Let us read verse 7. Second Chronicles 16 verse 7. And at that time, Anani, the seer, came to Hasa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Yeah. Now let us move to, you can read the rest. you know, he gave the message to the king, and then in verse 10, then Hasa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Hasa oppressed some of the people at some of the people the same time. Yeah, so you can see this is another confirmation of how prophets in the scriptures who stood for the truth, how they were, you know, they were persecuted and imprisoned. Yeah, so if God have called you to be a prophet, you should brace up for persecution, especially if you are going to stand on the truth, to speak the truth, to preach the truth at all times. Then you should get ready for persecution, because people would persecute you. Yeah, that is certain. Yeah, for men love darkness than the light. Men love light than the truth. Men are always looking for people that would deceive them, not people that will tell them the truth. And maybe some of you here, you're also looking for someone that will deceive you, and not someone that will tell you the truth. Yeah, I hope none of you is like that. Yeah, so anyone that will really be a prophet of the living God must be ready to be persecuted and attacked by people who hate the truth. Yeah, so let us move to another example. Jeremiah, that's the next example. Jeremiah. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah 37, verse 11 to 16. Jeremiah 37, verse 11 to 16. And it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem, for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Ananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, it is false, I fall not away to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him. So Irijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Verse 15. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him. And put him in prison. in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. So you can see that they captured him, thinking he was on the side of the enemy, but he was trying to make them understand that I'm not on the side of the Chaldeans. Yeah, I'm on the side of, you know, of you guys, but they would not believe him. Most important, I mean, especially because of the way he had prophesied that Israel would be destroyed. He has prophesied judgment upon them because of their sins and idolatry. So because of that, they thought he would also cooperate with their enemies. Yeah, so they misjudged him and captured him and threw him into the prison. Yeah, because he was actually going to the land of Benjamin, maybe to spend time with God, because it says to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. Yeah, but they did not understand, or they failed to believe him, and they threw him into prison. Yeah, so we can be falsely accused and even falsely imprisoned. God might allow that. So when persecution comes, a lot of things can happen. But as we have learned, we should stand firm in our faith, even in the face of serious persecutions. Let us look at another example. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. Daniel 6,16 to 17. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king filled it with his own signet and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So we know about that. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we know about that story, how some people, because of their hatred for Daniel, they coerced the king to make a law all of a sudden, a law that has never been in the land before. Yeah, so they all of a sudden made the king to make a law. Yeah, and to also attach a penalty to that law. Yeah, that no one should pray to any other god. Yeah, apart from the gods of the land. Yeah, so they made the law because of Daniel. Yeah, they intentionally made that law. Because of Daniel. Yeah, so that they can find a fault with him and be able to capture him. Yeah. Let me read that, please. Daniel chapter 6. Verse 4, yeah, you can go to verse 4 and you're going to see it there. It says, then the presidents and princes sought to find Okay, let me read from verse 3. This was where the problem started. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So you can see that was where the problem started. They had serious envy. Yeah, they had serious envy. Yeah, because praise the Lord. I don't know if praise the Lord. Okay. I think the network is bad. Yeah, but I believe you can hear me now. Now, I said we should read Daniel, we should read from verse 3 of Daniel chapter 6. So that we can understand where the problem started for Daniel. Verse 3 says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So you can see that the battle started for Daniel because of envy. Yeah, because the people were envious of him. Yeah, because they would always put him above the rest of them. Yeah, he's always better than them. And they will always promote him and give him position above the rest of them. So they were not happy. Yeah. So in verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So they realized that there was no fault. Yeah, unlike many presidents of nations today, many governors, many political leaders today, they have done a lot of corruption. Yeah, so if a serious investigation was to be done on many presidents of many nations, they would be guilty of many things, many wrong things. But that was not the case with Daniel. They investigated him, and because as at that time he was holding a political position, they did all investigations and they found no fault. Yeah, with him, because he was faithful. He was faithful. Yeah, but they didn't stop. They still wanted something against him. Yeah, in verse 5, then said this man, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Yeah, so they knew that the only thing that could make Daniel not do whatever the country of Babylon require him to do is when what is required goes against the law of his God. Yeah, so they know that Daniel would never do anything that is contrary to the law of his God. Yeah, so they plan to take him at that point to find fault with him using that ground. Now, verse 6, then this president and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So you can see how Daniel ended into the in the lion's den. Yeah, but we knew the end of the story. God visited. In fact, God was already waiting for him in the lion's den. Yeah, and God shut the mouth of the lions, and they couldn't hurt him. Yeah, I pray that your enemies who have ganged up together to seek your downfall, they shall fall in your place in Jesus' name. They shall go down in your place in Jesus' name. So let us look at another example. Then we're going to stop. There are other examples. We'll look at them next Tuesday. So now we're going to be looking at the last one, the last example. John the Baptist. Let us look at Matthew 14, verse 3 to 4. Matthew 14, 3 to 4. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. John rebuked King Herod for picking up his brother's wife. Yeah, even when the man was still alive. Because there was a law in the Old Testament that that a man can marry his brother's wife if the brother died without producing a child. I mean, the wife did not give the brother any child. Before the brother died. So the man is permitted according to the law of Moses to marry the wife. But that wasn't the case here. Yeah. So because Philip was still alive, and this king took his wife, his brother's wife, and married the wife of his blood brother. So John the Baptist told him to his face and said, it is wrong. It is wrong for you to have her. Now, we do not know where John the Baptist did that, because some people would say that John the Baptist made a mistake. He shouldn't have interfered with the private life of King Herod. Yeah, that nothing concerns him. I mean that something. I mean such thing doesn't concern him. He shouldn't be speaking concerning the private or personal decision of the king. Yeah, but the Bible did not actually reveal where exactly John's, rebuked him. Yeah. So the Bible didn't say he went to him in the palace to say that. Yeah. Yeah. So if we do not know where exactly, we should not say that John did the wrong thing. Yeah, because it could be that the king went out to meet him in the wilderness where he was baptizing people. Yeah, maybe because his fame was growing in the land, and then the king felt like, let's go and check this man that they call John the Baptist, what he's doing. Yeah, because he's becoming famous. So maybe when the king came to where he was doing his ministry, then he told him the truth. Just as he was telling the other people the truth, he was condemning the Pharisees, their actions, the Sadducees. He was telling them what they have done wrong and why they should repent. So, So it's possible that it was this king that went to where he was, and then he had to tell him the truth. Yeah, it might not be that he left his ministry business and now went to the king in the palace and say, why did you take your brother's wife? So I don't think that was the king. But, well, I might be wrong, but the Bible did not give us a clear picture of where John said that to the king. Yeah, but I doubt that John the Baptist went to meet him in the palace to say that. Yeah, I doubt that. Though Elijah did that, but even when Elijah did that, God specifically told him to go and appear before Ahab. And Elijah did not just condemn Ahab's practice. Evil practices. Elijah also pronounced God's judgment. Yeah, so I don't think John actually went to meet him in his palace to condemn what he did. So I think it's the opposite. Yeah, but because that woman was not comfortable, yeah, you know, the woman was a serpent. So somehow he manipulated the king to arrest him. Yeah, so my point is that John did nothing wrong for calling out the sin of that king. Yeah. Servants of God should call out the sins of the people. Yeah. They should call out the sins of the people so that the people would know that all they are doing is wrong and they will repent. Yeah. If all the servants of God or the preachers in the world, if they mention the sins of the people and tell them to repent and be saved, I believe the world would have become a better place. Yeah, but I don't know why many preachers are so afraid. I don't know what they are scared of. Yeah, why are they so afraid that they cannot call out the sins of the people? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so let us preach against sin. I know some people will say, you are judging me. And Bible says you should not judge. Yeah, I think they are misinterpreting what Jesus said in that place where he said, do not judge. Yeah, they are really, really misinterpreting that. Yeah, because calling out people's sins is not judging the people. In fact, it is saving the people. Yeah, because even Jesus himself called out the sins of the people. The same person who said, do not judge, he called out the sins of the people to their face. Yeah. And all the Old Testament prophets, even the apostles, they called out the sins of the people. So it is not judgment when you call out people's sins. In fact, you are trying to save the people from God's judgment. So if anyone tells you, you are not in the position to judge me, Bible says do not judge. Don't listen to them. Continue to call out their sins Yeah, because in so doing, it shows how much you love them and how much you want them to repent and be saved. Yeah, because the Bible says, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Yeah, so when you call out the sins of the people, you are telling them to judge themselves so that they will not be judged. You are telling them to repent so that God will not judge them. Yeah, so when Jesus said, do not judge, what he meant is that do not condemn others to destruction. That's the meaning of do not judge. So it means do not write off people, you know, like some vehicles when they have accident, they will say that vehicle is written off. Yeah, maybe because the accident was so intense and all the parts of the vehicle have been crushed. So they would say that vehicle is written off. Yeah, so which means there is no restoration for the vehicle. Yeah, so that's what Jesus meant when he says, do not judge. So it means don't condemn people to destruction. You are not in a position to do that. So don't say that don't tell anyone that you are meant for hell and you shall go to hell and you shall perish in hell. Yeah, forever. No, that means you are judging them. Yeah, because you are saying that they shall perish in hell forever. That is, you are saying they don't deserve forgiveness, they don't deserve salvation, and that they don't deserve heaven. Yeah, so when you do that, you are judging the people. Yeah, but when you call out their sins and tell them to repent and warn them of what will happen if they don't repent, yeah, that one is not judging. That one is saving. Yeah, you are saving them. Yeah, so you should understand the difference. Yeah, so be free to call out people's sins. Yeah, I pray you will have that boldness in Jesus' name. So we're going to stop here. There are still some few more examples, but we'll look at it next Tuesday. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram group. Yeah, I realize that many of you don't ask questions. And I wonder why. Yeah, because any student that really wants to know a lot and grow is going to ask a lot of questions. Yeah, in fact, I, as a person, I am what I am today in terms of divine knowledge because I used to ask a lot of questions. I would ask God many questions. I can't even remember how many questions I have asked God. And I would even ask the angels a lot of questions. Yeah. So I know many things today because I ask a lot of questions. A lot. Yeah. And many times after I get an answer, even in the answer, I will still ask another question. Yeah. So if you are not asking questions, maybe you don't really want to know anything about God and about his kingdom. In fact, the reason why we do meditation is because we have questions. Yeah, if you are going to really get the best out of meditation, then you number one went into the meditation because you have a question. And even while you are getting revelations during the meditation, revelations that are answering your questions, you are still asking more questions to get more revelation. But if you are not asking questions, how will you even know anything? Yeah, how will you know anything? Do you know, for instance, let me challenge your mind. Yeah, do you know that many of the things that is happening here on earth are not even supposed to happen? Yeah, at all. Do you know that many of the thoughts most people think, they're not supposed to even think them at all? Do you know that the lives of many people are just fulfilling the plans of Satan for their lives? Yeah, do you know there are a lot of secrets of darkness that is governing this earth and the entire universe? Yeah, do you know how many spirits that are right there where you are with you in your room and they're always watching you 24/7? Yeah, do you know that this air that you breathe in is contaminated with a lot of demons? Yeah. Do you really want to know things? Yeah, if you want to know a lot, you will be asking a lot of questions. Yeah, if you want to know a lot, you will ask questions. And it is when you know much that you become wise. So knowledge produces wisdom. And when you are wise, you'll be able to fight strategically. And you'll be able to move forward very fast. Yeah, do you know there are certain words you're not supposed to be saying with your mouth? And now those words are limiting your destiny. Yeah, but if you're not asking questions, your life is not moving forward, you're not asking questions. Why? Yeah, so I'm just saying all these things to challenge you that you need to ask questions. Yeah, even if you're not going to ask me, ask yourself questions, ask Bible questions, and ask God questions. Yeah, and then do everything to get the answers to those questions. Yeah, so you might not have questions concerning persecution, but if you have other questions concerning spiritual things, Christian living, yeah, feel free to ask on our platform. So don't think maybe I'm going to feel somehow if you have some questions. No. In fact, if I don't know the answer to your question, I will tell you I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, that's who I am. Yeah, I'll tell you that I don't know that. Well, if I might do more spiritual research, and when I know, I'll come and answer your question. Yeah, so be open to learn. Yeah, be open to learn. I don't know why Africans are not open to learn. Yeah, but I've met people, you know, from other continents that are very, very open to learn a lot. Yeah, but Nigerians, I don't know. Though some of us want to learn, but there are some of us that our mind is so rigid. Yeah, we just focus on some few things and that is all that we want to know. Whereas there is more. But it's just those few ones that we want to know, that is all we focus on. Yeah, but there are more that we should also seek to know, but we don't really want to know those other things. We just kind of put ourselves in a box. I just want to know these few things, that's all. But when it comes to so many other things, we don't have interest. Yeah, so that is not good. I pray that you will change and you start to ask questions. Yeah, let us pray. Father, we thank you for the things you have revealed to us during the course of this Bible study class. Thank you for showing us men like us in the Bible who endured persecution and were even imprisoned because of persecution. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing us how we should follow these examples, how we should copy these examples. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to be wise in Jesus' name. Help us to be wise in Jesus' name. Help us to stand for the truth without fear. Help us to open our mouth and declare the truth and preach the truth in public places without any fear. And not only that, Father, we ask that you help everyone here to live the truth practically in our lifestyle, in our dressing, in our attitude and character. Help us to practice the truth in Jesus' name. And help us to ask questions. Help us to think deep to the point that we begin to have many questions concerning you, concerning your kingdom, and concerning our callings and destinies. Father, help us to start to do that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.